started a new series last week called Everyday, Hearing God's Voice in Everyday Life. And last week, we talked about three misconceptions that we sometimes have about hearing God's voice. We talked about one misconception is how God only speaks one way, or how our view of God doesn't matter or doesn't affect whether we hear or how we hear. And then the other misconception was only super Christians can hear God. And then we left you with one fundamental truth that governs all of our relationship with God, and that is that love is the standard. Love is the greatest thing. And so the goal of the Christian life is not to hear God's voice. The goal of the Christian life is to love God. And so that truth will draw you closer to Him and coincidentally help you hear Him better. So today I want to take it a step further, and I want to talk about everyday ways that God speaks to you. Now, I want you to imagine that you had a wealthy relative who you never met, who passed away, and you were the next of kin, and because you were the only living relative left, you inherited everything that they had saved up all their life. You got the inheritance. Now, that would be a blessing to you. It would benefit you. It would help you in your life. But you couldn't really say that, you know, you and your relative were friends. They acted more like a donor in your life because you didn't have a relationship with them. It's hard to call them family because you'd never met. But because of a technicality, you benefited from what they did. Now, unfortunately, I think sometimes we think about our relationship or we approach our relationship with Jesus the same way, like He's some distant relative who we never met, who died, and His death has given us an inheritance, and we have eternity waiting for us, and we're going to go to heaven, and we get to live on this earth forgiven, but there's not much relationship. So regardless of how helpful, regardless of how big of an impact that inheritance might make on your life financially or spiritually, there's a big difference between a donor and a friend. And Jesus is no donor. He is a friend. So look at John 15, 15 at how Jesus described His relationship with His disciples. "I no longer call you servants," He said, "because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I've made known to you." Jesus called His disciples friends because what the Father taught Him, He taught them. That's the exact kind of relationship that Jesus wants to have with me and you. Dallas Willard said, "If God doesn't speak today, then the greatest disservice we could ever do to people is to tell them that they can have a personal relationship with God." At the end of the day, God's not running a government. He's not running a corporation. He's not running a fan base. He's not trying to build a social media following. Jesus is building a personal, individual relationship with me and with you. That's what He's about. And so in the Bible, our relationship with God is most often described like a friendship or a family relationship. There are many pictures, but three pictures I want to zero in on this morning just to set the background for this teaching today. In the Scripture, God describes His relationship with us and uses, human examples. So our relationship is explained like a parent to a child. It's explained in the Song of Solomon and in Hosea as a lover and the beloved. All throughout the Bible, it's described as a shepherd to their sheep. But do you see one common thread in all three of those pictures? It all has to do with an individual, personal, one-on-one relationship between God and each one of us. Let's look at that last example. Actually, if you've been reading along in our devotional, this comes from Friday's devotion this week. John 10, 3 and 4, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. God knows your name. He calls you by name and he leads them out. When he's brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Always in Scripture, there's this idea that this relationship between God and people is personal and family-like and one-on-one. When King David wrote Psalm 23, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Not a shepherd, not somebody's shepherd, not Israel's shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The most natural thing to happen in a relationship is conversation. A matter of fact, when conversation breaks down, you can see it's not going to be long before the relationship's going to break down. Now, this morning, I want to give you four everyday ways that God speaks to you, okay? And if you want to go to heaven, write these down, okay? That's a requirement to get into the pearly gates. So I encourage you to take notes, but I want to give you one caveat before we get into those four ways, and it's this. God speaks in a lot of ways. He speaks in dreams, and he speaks in visions, and he speaks through angels, and he speaks through miracles, and he speaks through signs, and he speaks through wonders, and he speaks in an audible voice sometimes. And look, I don't come to faith as a skeptic. I come as a believer. I believe in all of those. I believe God speaks in all those ways. I've heard stories from people. I've had experiences in my own life. I've had dreams in my own life. My children have had dreams. And I went, wait a minute, I think God's trying to tell us something. I believe in every one of them. However, I don't want to focus on the spectacular ones because so often we miss the everyday things God is trying to tell us because we're so focused on the spectacular or the dramatic. So what I want to do this morning is I want to give you four everyday ways that God speaks to us as his people. And if we spend our time focusing on all the, you know, waiting for that one dramatic thing to happen before we can say or believe that God spoke to us, we miss a lot of what God has to say. So here's the first one. God speaks through the written word. The Bible is, in its most basic element, is God's voice written down. It's the things that God said and the things that God did and the way that God interacted with humanity. The Bible is called salvation history. This is the record of God's interactivity with humankind. It is his voice written down. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." The Bible is a book unlike any other book in world history. These aren't words. These are living words. These aren't old stories and good advice. This is the life of God in written form. It's the Bible. Do you believe that? This is the Word of God. I've got a fascinating study to share with you. The Center for Bible Engagement did a research project, an extensive clinical research project, and it found that if you read the Bible one time a week, it makes almost no difference. If you read it twice a week, it makes almost no difference. If you engage three times a week, it makes a little difference. If you engage four times a week with the Bible, I want to read the results of the study. Go back to number one. Feeling lonely drops 30%. Anger issues drop 32%. Bitterness in relationship drops 40%. Alcoholism drops 57%. Sex outside of marriage drops 68%. Feeling spiritually stagnant drops 60%. Viewing pornography drops 61%. Sharing your faith jumps 200%. Discipling others jumps 230%. Now, I want you to name one book that you know of that you can read, and it'll have that effect on your life. The Bible is the Word of God. It is the living Word of God in written form. Do you think God speaks through His Word? Okay, I've got a question for you. Do you have a plan to read the Bible? Do you have a plan to read the Bible? I'm not asking you about the spiritual books you got that you're reading. I'm not asking you what podcast you listen to. I'm not asking you how long you've been a Christian. I'm asking you, do you have a plan to read the Bible? Let me give you just a little bit of pastoral wisdom in finding a Bible reading plan. Any plan is better than no plan. Any plan. Don't wait for the perfect plan. Don't wait for, man, when I get the, you know, when I get the big one, the spiritual one, the best one, No. Any plan's better than no plan. And let me tell you this, consistency is more important than quantity. So just because you can't read 4 chapters or 8 chapters or a book or whatever, don't wait for the opportunity to come, because it's not ever going to show up for you to read enough. My concern for you is not that you don't read enough of the Bible, it's you don't read any of it. Find a plan that, let me tell you the very best plan you can ever pick for reading the Bible. I'll give you the best one, the one you'll do the most often. So wherever that is, whatever it is for you, grab a plan. And look, you go to Bible.com, you go to the Bible app, there are unlimited amounts of plans. Just pick a plan and go. Here's my advice. While you're waiting on the perfect plan, just do one. And you can do that plan while you're waiting on the good one. And then do another one while you're waiting on the good one. And do another one while you're waiting on the good one. Look, you're going to have a hard time hearing God's voice anywhere else if you don't hear it in the written word. But if you learn to hear His voice through the written word, it will help you hear His voice everywhere else. God speaks through the written word. Number two, God speaks through the living word. What does that mean? God spoke most clearly through the written word, it's the Bible, and the living word. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh. Who are we talking about? And made His dwelling among us. Who did we sing about earlier? We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was God. Jesus is the living Word. Jesus is unlike any other person who has ever lived or who will ever live. He walked on the earth. He felt what you and I feel. He did miracles. He taught. He suffered. He died. He resurrected from the dead. He tore the veil from the top to the bottom that was separating heaven and earth. He's the exact representation of the Father. Jesus is the living Word. You want to know the Father? Get close to Jesus. You want to know who God is, what God's like? You want to hear God's voice? Follow Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Do the things that Jesus did. Live the kind of life that Jesus lived. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, 1 and 2. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days that we're in right now, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. If you want to hear God's voice, follow Jesus, get close to Jesus, live like Jesus. He is the living Word. God spoke through Him in the past, and He's still speaking through Him today. So the more engaged you are with the written word, and the more engaged you are with the living word, the clearer His voice is going to get inside your heart and mind. And it'll give you a better filter. Because you'll begin to, when you encounter the written word and you encounter the living word, you begin to get a better understanding of what God is like and the kind of things God would say and the kind of things God would not say and the kind of ways that God would direct and the ways that God would not direct. And you begin to get a discernment filter about what God's voice is like. And you begin to realize when you hear things that are spoken in shame or condemnation or guilt or some big heavy burden that you can't resolve or discouragement, you begin to filter that out, whether it comes from outside of you or it comes from inside of you. You begin to reject that and you begin to say, that's not how God talks. That's not his voice. I don't care how spiritual it feels. I don't care how intense the moment is. I don't care what somebody else said it is. It's not his voice, because that's not how we encounter him in the written word or the living word. And then you begin to filter his voice and you begin to understand that he speaks through grace and love and passion and hunger and invitation and confirmation and affirmation and purpose and destiny and vision and value on your life. And you begin to realize that that's his voice. And you begin to filter those other voices out. When you get these first two, you're engaging in these first two, it'll give you a better filter to hear God's voice in the last two that I'm going to give you. So the written word, the living word, number three, we hear God's voice every day, ways that we hear God's voice, number three, is through other believers. Do you know in the Bible and in church history, this is the most common way that God speaks? And why wouldn't it be? Because God intertwines himself with the activity of humans to make a difference. God has given to the church the gifts of the Spirit to build the church up and to make it strong, to encourage and to add muscle and to add resilience and to add faith and to add life and to add strength. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? For why? For the common good. So how do you encounter that? You hear a sermon, you come to church one Sunday maybe and you hear a sermon, you might be online watching, you hear a sermon, all of a sudden it just seems like that's exactly what you needed to hear. That's exactly what you've been thinking about. That's exactly what you've been processing. That's an exact question you've had, and now here comes a word that meets you right there. What is that? That's God talking to you. We gather together and there, all of a sudden there's a worship song, and as we stand and sing together, it starts to resonate deeply inside of you, and it confirms or encourages some part of you that you needed, and it's like you've got to let that out from inside. What is that? That's God's voice speaking through other people. Maybe you respond to prayer one Sunday morning and the person that's praying ministers specifically to the need. Maybe they don't even know who you are, but they minister specifically to the need that's inside your heart, and you go, man, I needed that. What is that? That's God's voice communicating to you. Maybe you go to your life group and the teaching or the conversation appears to be more than teaching and conversation. Like there's something else happening in the room that wasn't planned by any person. It's more than a good teaching and it's more than a conversation. It's like there's a missing piece that you needed and somebody added that missing piece in that conversation. Maybe there's a friend that reaches out to you and says, hey, I've been praying for you and I've been meaning to tell you this. And it just resonates inside your heart. What is that? That's God's voice coming to you through other believers. Maybe someone reaches out in a text to you with a little word of encouragement. And I'm not saying that every word of encouragement comes from God. I'm not saying every word of encouragement is his voice, but this one is. And you look at that text and you just go, oh, man, how did they know? That's so encouraging to me. It touches me at such a deep point. I needed that. I needed somebody to say that to me. I needed to hear that today. What is that? That's not just human. That's God's voice. A few months ago, we were sitting in a board meeting and we were just kind of celebrating all the good things that God had done in 2024. And as we're sitting there talking and reflecting, it's just like something shifted in the room. And it's just like God was speaking through those testimonies and confirming and affirming and encouraging us. Keep going, church. You're going the right way. Just keep going. You're going the right way. What is that? That's God's voice. Last Sunday morning, I met with the prayer team and we were praying together, and one of our leaders said, you know, there was just a powerful moment where God was speaking and ministering and encouraging and giving direction, and one of the prayer team said, what would you like us to pray about today? And I said, I don't think I want to add anything. This feels like a holy moment to me. Man, that's God's voice. That's how God's voice ministers through other people to you. And I could go on and on and on and on. And by this point in my life, hundreds, if not thousands of times, I've experienced moments just like the ones I've explained to you. And this mirrors the life of Jesus perfectly, because Jesus was all God, but he was also all human. And that's how God works. It's part us and it's part him. And I think that's what throws us off sometimes. God's speaking to us, but you know what it sounds like? It just sounds like somebody else's voice. But that throws us off and we don't hear it because it's not dramatic or it's not flashy or it's not some big sign somewhere, but it's him speaking. It's his thoughts mixed with our thoughts coming through our voice to someone else. How else do you explain what preaching even is? How else would you even explain it? It's not just me coming up with something. God uses these things, and he uses you in conversation, and conversations that feel normal and like Monday morning and like I'm tired and I can't even get moving. And God speaks in those moments. God speaks through other believers. That's why we say at Kingwood, life is better together. You know why? Because it's in the family of God that we hear his voice. Here's the last one, number four. We hear God's voice through an inner impression. Through an inner impression. You can't explain the life of David, Moses, or Abraham without this thought. David was a man after God's own heart. Moses was called the servant of God, and Abraham was called the friend of God. And so many times in their life, they were guided by an inner impression, an inner nudge, an inner knowing. They were guided in that way. I want to read for you this morning a classic example from Elijah that I think will help frame this thought for us. Elijah was told by God. What? Told by God. How was he told by God? How did he hear that? We'll read it in a minute. How did he hear that? He was told by God to go and sit in a cave because God was going to reveal himself to him. Look at 1 Kings 19:11. Then the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord's about to pass by. How did the Lord say? How did the Lord say? Was it an angel? Did a lightning bolt hit? Was it written in the sky? How did the Lord say? I think it was probably an inner impression. The Lord said, then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, what came after the earthquake and the wind and the fire? Gentle whisper. A better translation might be silence. Quiet. Do you know, I think what prevents us so many times from hearing God's voice is how we define it. We define it as a dramatic event. And with everything inside of us, we want it to be like a hurricane, or we want it to be like an earthquake, or we want it to be like a fire. Like we want it to be, you know, We want it to be undeniable. We want proof. We want proof. We want certainty. But watch this. We want proof. You know what God wants? Relationship. We want certainty. You know what God wants? Sensitivity and awareness. For the last year in my prayer time, I've been praying something just because I don't know how else to pray it. But I'm saying, Lord, help me to read your body language. Help me to know even when there's the smallest, most subtle thing that you whisper, say, or move, God, I want to track with you. Like, I don't want you to have to scream it at me, or I don't want to miss a lot because I'm just not listening. Our standard of having dramatic proof, certainty, prevents us from hearing. Because most of the time, God is not going to speak to you through the dramatic. He's not. Most of the time, in an everyday relationship, in a one-on-one, personal, I know my sheep, I call them by name, he's going to talk to you in a gentle whisper. He's going to talk to you in an inner impression, or maybe even through another believer around you. As you are in the written word and the living word, you will begin to be aware of these conversations and words of encouragement that come at you from other people and these inner impressions that boil up inside of you. But what do? We get an impulse to do something or to say something. It just kind of floats into our mind. What do? We push it away. That's just me. A thought pops up. What do? We push it away. We dismiss it. Is it possible we miss a lot of what God says because he just says it so quietly and so gently that we just miss it? Because we live in a noisy, loud world and we have a hard time hearing. What does it sound like? I just want to ask you a question. What does it sound like when God speaks to you? Have you ever thought about that? What does it sound like? Several years ago, I asked all of our pastors at our church, I said, what is it? I would love to know, what does it sound like when God speaks to you? Here's what our pastors said. They said, it sounds like God's voice feels familiar, and oftentimes a scripture will come to my mind. Another pastor said, through my five senses and creation, I get some sense. Another pastor said, I hear through mentors and relationships and the life of deep people. Another one said, it's the illumination of God's word. It's just like a scripture becomes clearer to me in that moment, and I have a lingering impression in my mind that won't go away. And sometimes it happens through other believers bring thoughts or words to me. One of our pastors said, it sounds like butterfly wings. Very gentle and quiet, but his voice comes with a feeling of peace and joy. Another pastor said, God's voice to me sounds like silence and quiet. I hear him when I wait and I listen. God does not sound like my earthly father. Boy, there's a lot there for some of us. Did you know that some of Jesus' deepest teachings had to do with hearing? 1/3 of Jesus' teachings were parables. Now, parables were stories that used oftentimes natural, you know, elements like farming or agriculture or fishing or something like that to bring a spiritual point. Now, you might ask, why did Jesus spend so much time teaching in parables? Well, there's multiple reasons, but let me give you one of the reasons that most theologians agree with, that Jesus shared his truths through parables to hide the truth from those who really didn't want it. So it's like an Easter egg. He planted it inside the stories, and if you really, really wanted it, it's there. But if you didn't really want it, you can be like, well, he talks about fishing and farming a lot. We don't really know what that means. Do you know we have a great propensity toward selective hearing? We have the ability to hear what we want to hear and not hear what we don't want to hear, but yet the Bible tells us that you will find God when you seek him with all your heart. Is the issue that God doesn't speak, or is the issue that we don't listen very well? Jesus explained this a little further in Mark chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. He was talking about his parable. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. God has intertwined himself and laced his voice throughout every cell of creation, through every subject, through every compartment, through every piece of life. His voice is embedded, constantly sharing and communicating and guiding and leading and giving impressions and words of encouragement. So oftentimes it comes as a feeling, not as like a spoken word, an incomplete thought, a dream, whatever. And Jesus said, if anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. So the question is not, does God speak? The question is, are we listening? Here's the thing. God loves you, and he wants a personal relationship with you. Not with you and your spouse, not with you and your parents, not with you and your kids, with you. God has no grandchildren. God only has first generation, freshly born children. He knows your name. He knows the number of the hairs on your head. He knows when you cry, and he knows when you laugh. He knows when you hurt, and he knows when you don't understand and you don't have questions that you don't have the answer to. God loves you and wants a personal, one-on-one relationship with you. And so if you're online today, that's true for you. If you're sitting on your couch, driving in your car, if you're watching this in the future, it's true for you. God wants a relationship with you. If you're sitting on the front row, God wants a relationship with you. If you're sitting in the very top of the balcony against the wall, God wants a relationship with you. If this is the very first time you've ever even been to our church, God wants a one-on-one personal relationship with you. If you've been in our church for 30 years, it doesn't matter how familiar all of this is to you. God still wants a personal relationship with you. He wants to know you by name. And he wants you to know him. And whether you're a young person or you're young parents or you're empty nesters or you're seniors, it doesn't matter. None of that matters. None of it matters. He wants to know you personally. And so would you stand with me this morning? Our worship team is coming to lead us in a song about Jesus. And I want to ask you, as we sing this song, before we go to prayer, would you just quiet your heart? Lord, today we just quiet our hearts and our minds, and we push away everything that's trying to fill our heart and our mind. All of the things that we have to do, the things that we didn't get finished, the unresolved issues. God, we push away everyone now. And we say, God, we come to listen, to hear, to really hear you. As we quiet our heart and sing with the worship team, would you just allow the Spirit of God to minister to you?